Baker gets it into Anthony. Screen set by Baker. Anthony puts up a three. In and out.
Melo met with Phil Jackson yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Melo's going to say that Melo wants to remain a Knick. I believe that Phil Jackson is going to convince him ultimately to waive that no trade clause. I believe whether it's before the trading deadline or this summer, in the end, I believe that at the latest, Carmelo Anthony will be gone from the New York Knicks at the latest by this summer. Possibly by next month, definitely by this summer.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? It is Knicks Nation coming at you with another podcast, episode 5. Today is January 22nd on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, and it's been a rough one for us Knicks fans as we continue to endure the Knicks losing ways and as we continue to be depressed about the New York Knicks, you know, recent debacle, so to speak. But I wanted to start off that show playing that quote because Stephen A. Smith is a valid source, and he ultimately claims that Carmelo Anthony will not be a Knick this summer. But I'll get into that later on in this segment of this podcast. But over the last 19 games, the Knicks are 3-16. With recent losses against the Phoenix Suns at home and with recent losses against the Washington Wizards at home. Both games came down to the wire, but I'm going to start off by talking about the Wizards game. The Knicks got down in that game. Second quarter, they were down by, I think, 14-16. Then Carmelo Anthony set a franchise record with 27 points in that second quarter. He was really, you know, killing the Wizards defense, and his jump shot was really falling that game. And, you know, got to give Melo props. That quarter was all him. You know, he got the Knicks back into that game. He gave us a 1-point lead at the half. And third quarter, his jump shot wasn't falling, but, you know, the Knicks still fought in there. They got down 10. They came back. Fourth quarter is when the controversy started, when the Knicks actually took the lead. And then you have Carmelo Anthony taking it upon himself to shoot a isolation jumper over, I forgot who was guarding him, but he ultimately misses. And then John Wall, fast break. We all know he double dribbled, got away with it. Wizards go up 3, and then Knicks have the ball in the final possession. Couldn't even get off a shot, but the stupid coach on the Wizards bench was literally on the court. Refs didn't catch that. Actually, the refs did catch that. If you watch the replay, you see the ref trying to push away the coach off the court, and then he bumps into Carmelo Anthony. It was just a mess. You know, these referees, instead of doing that, call a technical foul, you know, give the Knicks a chance to get back into the game, even make it easier on the Knicks. But, you know, blown call after blown call, you know, typical Knicks season, doesn't go our way. And then NBA comes out 2 days ago fining the Washington Wizards $15,000 and fining their assistant coach $5,000. But come on, to these coaches, that's chump change. $5,000 for an incident that made you win the game. I mean, that's nothing. If I was making millions of dollars and had to get in the way on the court, calling out defensive schemes, making Courtney Lee thinking I'm a player, if that's worth $5,000, I'll do that every time. But, yeah, it's just blown calls. Yeah, we can blame the refs, but the Knicks have to play better defense, and over these last 19 games, they haven't. You know, they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league right now. And, yeah, we lost that game, and then we go to the Phoenix. We go back to the Garden. Phoenix comes into the Garden yesterday and gets a tough win. It's a tough loss for the Knicks because, you know, last second shot, Carmelo Anthony shot a three and the ball was literally halfway down. And then the basketball gods were like, nope, not today. I'm sorry. But yeah, another tough loss for the Knicks. And we've been losing these close games by less than 5 points. And it's just so frustrating because we can't get that, you know, that defensive stop that gives us that momentum and really gets us going and gets us going as a team and makes things easier. But, you know, that's the way it's been all season. Things haven't gone our way. And, you know, I've just become used to it, you know, as sad as it sounds. I mean, it's year after year, honestly. And I used to get, you know, frustrated and depressed. I mean, I still get frustrated and depressed, but I'm sort of, you know, expecting the worst, so to speak, and I'm not really expecting much of this Knicks team, because if they keep it up on the defensive end and if they keep letting teams score 108 points a game, they're not going to be a good team, and they're not going to make up this 3 games back that they're out of the playoffs right now, and they're not going to make up that ground, because playoff teams play defense, and the Knicks right now, they don't play defense at all. And the 76ers have one more loss than the Knicks. I tweeted this yesterday on my Twitter account because I wanted to look at the standings, and I was looking at the 76ers record, and they literally have one more loss than the New York Knicks. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, how is that possible? Like, how? Like, we were 16-13, third in the East, and then the ship sunk so much that the 76ers only have one more loss than us. I mean, it's just a big joke, to be honest, but the 76ers have been playing well. I believe they're like 8-3 in the last 11 games, but Joel Embiid is balling his ass off down in Philadelphia. He just recently got hurt, actually. But, yeah, Jeff Hornacek, he tried switching out the lineups. He tried putting Melo at the four, and it did work when the Knicks got a win in Boston. Carmelo Anthony was basically a decoy in that game, and Porzingis wasn't playing. And, you know, the Knicks moved the ball better on the offensive end, and Carmelo Anthony only had 13 points in that game. But you could see that he's not a three anymore. And last night, Jeff Hornacek put him back at that three position, and, you know, they lost again. I mean, Joakim Noah, yeah, he's grabbing rebounds, but he's not an offensive threat at all. Teams are backing off from him. He can't shoot. He can't even finish at the rim. I mean, it's just frustrating to watch, and it's sad to watch that a former defensive player of the year has lost not even one step. He's lost two steps in my book. And, you know, 4 years, $70 million is tough, but the Knicks have to live with it, and that's their center. They have to ride with him, and I think – you know, Joakim Noah should come off the bench, but, you know, my opinions don't really matter because I'm not the coach. But, you know, I think I was listening to the Han and Humpty show, and, you know, Rick DiPietro, he's a good analysis, and he said, you know, this Knicks team should have two lines. They should have a Kristaps Porzingis line, and they should have a Carmelo Anthony line. You know, the first unit should be a Carmelo Anthony line, and then bring off the second unit when Kristaps off the bench and play players that, you know, mesh well with Kristaps Porzingis, and they pass it to him well in certain situations when he has mismatches and whatnot. Because right now you have so many offensive players in the starting lineup and so many non-defensive players that it's just not working. I mean, yeah, offense isn't our problem, but, you know, sometimes we take long 3-point shots and the ball bounces far, because if you're taking a long 3-point shot, chances are the rebound is going to bounce far, and at least the opponent's gaining a fast break, and our defense is not that good to catch up with these fast point guards. And that leads me to Derrick Rose, because I've been praising Derrick Rose all season about his defense, and then it's literally been like a graph. Like, if you took a look at a graph, it's been even, up, down, and right now it's just taking a landslide. It's going down and down and down because Derrick Rose cannot stay in front of opponents' point guards. And I mean, notice last night how Bledsoe had the ball, Tyson Chandler set the pick, Then you see Derrick Rose coming off the weak side, helping, trying to block out Tyson Chandler like he's a threat to shoot the ball, which he isn't. And then Eric Bledsoe passes it to Devin Booker for a wide open 3-point shot, and he splashes it. And then the Knicks go down 2. And then, you know, that led to the Carmelo Anthony in and out shot, and the Knicks lost that game. But Derrick Rose's defense, you know, it's weird because when he was with the Chicago Bulls, he was actually a pretty good defensive player, and he really got at it. He really was a good on-the-ball defender. And, you know, right now he's just regressing as a defender, not an offensive player, because he could still ball, he could still cross someone up and get to the rack at will. You know, he has that little step-back jump shot that he loves to do and that little float shot. But right now it's the defense with him. He can't stay in front of nobody. And like I said, it's weird because when he was with Chicago, you know, with that whole team, Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson, and Tom Thibodeau, he really got after it at the defensive end. And whether that's the coach hammering it into his head about defense, and, you know, I wonder what Jeff Hornacek is practicing right now with this team, because if I was the coach of this team, I wouldn't even practice offense. I would just keep practicing defense, defense, defense until they get tired of it and until we can actually stop somebody. Because right now we're just letting teams come into the garden. The Phoenix Suns, who have, 13 wins, come into the garden, and they punk you on your own home court. I mean, that's just unnecessary, and you got a whole bunch of young players on that team. You got, you know, P.J. Tucker's not young, but he basically was punking the Knicks all night. He shot a three, then did a three to the dome that Melo does. I mean, it's just little punk moves like that, and you just can't let these teams come to your home court and just beat you in that fashion and, you know, you not do anything about it. But, you know, that's the way the Knicks are playing right now. I mean, you could probably hear it in my voice. I'm really frustrated. There's nothing really positive to say about this team. Other than, you know, everyone keeps saying we're 3 games back in the playoffs, but, you know, numbers don't mean anything to me. That those 3 games, they feel like 20 games because we're not even winning right now. And, you know, in order to make up those 3 games, we need to win. And we're 3-16 in our last 19 games. And we're not winning at all. So the playoffs are a long shot to me because it's just not looking good right now for this team. And it brings me to, you know, what Phil Jackson did during this offseason, whether or not he put together a good unit. I don't know. I mean, that's remaining to be seen. But, you know, I thought on paper we looked good, but right now it's just not meshing on the defensive side, and we have a whole bunch of slow players that really aren't capable of playing defense. But like, we all thought Courtney Lee was that player who was capable of playing defense, but he got benched the last few games, and he actually took it to Instagram when he posted a Dumb and Dumber picture, and he later on took it down because the fans caught on and the media caught on and articles were being written. You just can't do that in New York, Courtney Lee. I mean, you know better. You're a professional athlete. You know people are going to look into that type of stuff. And to me, those Dumb and Dumber pictures are Jeff Hornacek and Phil Jackson. You know, Dumb and Dumber. Who else could it be? I mean, could it be Jeff Hornacek and Kurt Rambis? It could be them too, but it's just not a good look. It's not a good professional look. You have to be more professional about the situation. Yeah, you got benched to Ron Baker. Ron Baker was playing well. He took your starting spot, but you have to look at it as not a demotion, but it's to help the team because, you know, you played well with the second unit, almost getting a triple-double and, you know, scoring threes at a higher rate than you do as a starter, but you're still a good three-point shooter and we need you out there, so you can't just do this dumb stuff, like post Dumb and Dumber on your Instagram. And come on, man, like, this season's already a mess. Don't make it even worse. And, yeah, man, I mean, It just seems at this point nothing is going our way. I mean, the refs, they don't call anything. They blow a John Wall double dribble. They blow a technical foul for their coach being on the court. Derrick Rose, again, no call when he gets to the rack. I mean, it's just a whole plethora of things, and there's not really anything good to speak about this team. But I just wanted to talk about, you know, Carmelo Anthony and the trading deadline. I mean, Carmelo Anthony has been balling the last couple of games. I mean, he's averaging 33 points a game and 8 rebounds. And last game against the Suns, he was actually really efficient. He was really efficient. 31 points on 9-17 shooting. I believe he grabbed 8 rebounds too. But he's been balling ever since he found out that he's not an all-star starter. It's the first time in 8 years that Carmelo Anthony hasn't been an all-star starter. I still think he's going to get in, though, as a reserve. But that's remained to be seen. You know, coaches decide that. But, you know, Carmelo Anthony has been balling. And, you know, us Knicks fans, some Knicks fans want him out. I don't really consider it as wanting him out. I just think his time in New York has passed. And, you know, he needs to, because he's not going to win a championship here. And he's getting up there in age. I believe he turns 32 in May or 33 in May. But, you know, which is why I played the opening segment of this podcast. I played Stephen A. Smith. He basically said, you know, he has some good sources. He said that Carmelo Anthony is gone either next month or this summer. And he put the word definitely in there. So I wonder if he's getting his intel from Carmelo Anthony, because Carmelo Anthony met with Phil Jackson last week, and, you know, he said he's committed to this team as of right now. And, I mean, he didn't say as of right now, but that's what I'm getting, because I don't think he just wants to get traded mid-season. I think he wants to do that all in the summer so he can move his family to wherever he gets traded. And whether that's L.A. or Cleveland, I don't know, because I really don't know. If he goes to L.A., who can we get back? It would have to be a 3-team deal. If he went to Cleveland, I don't want Kevin Love. Why the hell would I want Kevin Love? Like, why? Yeah, he's a good rebounder. He's a good passer. I don't want Kevin Love. Don't give me Kevin Love. I mean, the deal that I would make is Carmelo Anthony going to Boston. Because that can bring you down. That can bring you back Jay Crowder. You know, the Nets' first round pick, which is projected to be a top 5 pick because the Nets have the worst record in the NBA. So if you can get that back, along with maybe, you know, I don't know, an Avery Bradley, I'm just talking right now, but that would be a hell of a deal for the Knicks, and that'll, you know, be a futuristic deal, which would help our future, and it would ultimately help Kristaps Porzingis grow as a player. So if you can do that, that'll be great, but, you know, it's ultimately in Carmelo Anthony's hands. He has a no-trade clause. He picks where he wants to go. The Knicks, I mean, you know, we would assume that he would want to go to a contender. But it's up to Carmelo Anthony whether or not he wants to leave New York and whether or not he says bye-bye because of that no-trade clause. You know, Phil Jackson can't trade him, or, I mean, we can listen to offers and we can present them to Carmelo Anthony, but he chooses his own destiny right now. And we're stuck with him otherwise for the next 2 years. And that's not a bad thing, you know. He's a good player. I just don't think we have the right players surrounding him, which is why we're not getting the best out of him. I mean, he's still dropping 25, 30 points a game, but they're not translating into wins. I mean, he can drop 60, 70 points a game. As long as we don't win, I don't care, because what are points? Yeah, we're scoring, but we're not defending. So he can average 40 points a game, 10 assists, and we still have the record now. And, you know, I wouldn't care about his stats because we're not winning. So, you know, that's always been an issue for Melo. He likes blowing up his stats and, you know, getting his points, so to speak. But he's been trying to get the team back on the right track. You got to give him props for that. you know, when he goes into this little isolation mode. If players cut, he finds them. If they don't, what can he do? All he can do is score, shoot the basket. He's a good mid-range shooter. He's not as great as he used to be, but that's all he can do. He can't defend. He can't lead a team to a championship. He needs a good surrounding cast. And, you know, Phil Jackson thought that this team that he assembled this summer was a good surrounding cast, but, you know, it's been terrible so far. It's been really awful. The ship be sinking, as they were to say. Yeah, it's been terrible. I mean, it's just so frustrating, right, guys? It's just, you know, we're 3 games out of the playoffs, but like I said earlier, it doesn't mean anything because we're not winning, and the teams above us are more consistent than we are. So it's like a back-and-forth situation. If we win, the teams above us win. If we lose, the teams above us either win or lose. But it's just, you know, it's like deja vu all over again. Like what Clyde Frazier said yesterday when Phoenix was dribbling the ball down. He was like, it's like deja vu all over again. And then Devin Booker splashes a 3 again, and then he repeats himself. He's like, it's like deja vu all over again. Well, you know, when is that ball going to drop our way? When are we going to have some luck? Just when? You know, ever since that Patrick Ewing missed finger roads, it seems like this franchise has taken a turn back. I mean, it's not ever since that situation, but I'm sure there's plenty of situations we can point to. But, you know, right now, as fans, we just got to keep supporting our team, keep riding with our team. That those are diehard fans' agendas. You know, keep riding with your team, keep supporting your team. Go to the games if you can afford it, because nowadays the prices are ridiculous to get an MSG. But we're not going to stop rooting for the Knicks, because that's our team. And if you stop rooting for the Knicks when they're down, well, we don't want you as a fan, because those are called fair weather fans and bandwagon fans. Those are all the fans that are fans of the Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors. Us Knicks fans, we're actually real fans. We're real diehards. We've been through it all. We've been through the ups. Back in the 90s, we've been through the downs in the 2000s and up to currently today. You know, we'll get to the up point whenever that is. We just have to be patient. But this organization is a mess right now. It's from top to bottom. We don't really have an identity. We'll get there, though. We'll get there. Whether that's in 10 years, 15 years, or tomorrow when we first, what is it? I think we play the Indiana Pacers. You know, we just have to turn this around whenever that is. Hopefully it's soon. But, you know, we got to keep riding with this team, and hopefully this team will be on the upcoming of greatness and be on the Cavs level and the Warriors level. But I don't think they're going to do that. So this portion of the podcast, I'm going to take some of you guys' questions that you asked me on Twitter. I got a lot of you guys asking me these questions, you know, trying to get your frustration out, and I'll try to get to as many of your questions as possible. First question is from DJ Michael. He asked, why don't we get a better defensive coach rather than Rambis? Because Kurt Rambis is a Phil Jackson guy, and I think Phil Jackson at least wants one of his, you know, posse members on his, now I'm playing, but Phil Jackson wants one of his, you know, staff members on the coaching staff. Phil Jackson can't coach anymore. And, you know, so he wants a voice to be on the coaching staff. And I think Kurt Rambis is the closest thing to that. And I think Kurt Rambis is his little, you know, watchdog. And he runs back to Phil to tell him what's going on and whatnot. And yeah, so that's why I think we can't get a bit better defensive coach. What we should have done is hired Tom Thibodeau, but I'm not the GM. That's up to Phil Jackson. But second question is from 2 Kevin. He says, where should D-Rose sign next season? Hopefully with the New York Knicks, but I'm not really keeping up with any other team, so I can't really tell you who needs a point guard. Maybe Milwaukee needs a point guard, but if he's going to sign with Milwaukee, why not trade him over there and get a first round pick? Just a thought. But third question is from Carlos. He asked, would it be possible if D-Rose should take the game winners and not Melo? He's shown it in the beginning of the season that he can knock down game winners. Knock down a game winner against Portland. Who else was it? I forgot. There was another team where he knocked down a game winner. He has it. I mean, but it's Carmelo Anthony. He wants to take that last shot. He wants to be the alpha dog. He wants to, you know, shine in the clutch. And I'm not saying Carmelo Anthony is in clutch, but if you're not having it that night, if your shot isn't falling, pass the rock, bro. Next question is from Eric. Is KP really untouchable? When will Phil leave? Good idea to trade for Griffin or wait for him in free agency? That's three questions in one. Yes, I think KP is untouchable. When will Phil leave? I don't know because I'm not in Phil's mind. Good idea to trade for Blake Griffin. That's up to Carmelo Anthony. If Carmelo wants to trade to the Clippers, if he wants to go to LA, then it is a good idea to trade for Blake Griffin because we don't know what's in Blake Griffin's head, whether or not he wants to sign in New York or whatnot. And if Carmelo Anthony wants to leave New York, better to get something back for him than lose him for nothing. Next question is from Ricky. When do we start putting major accountability on the coach? Pulling Hernan Gomez was mind-boggling. You know, there's been some question marks that he's been through in this season. You know, his rotations are mainly, you know, not his strong suit. I think he has to get better in coaching in that aspect of the game. But to me, he's been a solid coach. I mean, there was that game in Boston when Hernan Gomez was playing really well. And the next game versus the Wizards, he didn't even play. And I'm like, he just played really well, just had a career game, and then you're not going to play him? Just didn't make sense to me. But your question is a good question, and I don't have the answer to that question. That those are questions that the media should ask the coach, because Hernan Gomez is a good, young, solid player. Nice finding by Phil Jackson. And to me, he should be getting more playing time, and right now he isn't. Next question is from Elvis. Do you see Carmelo Anthony going to San Antonio? No, I do not see Carmelo Anthony going to San Antonio. Next question is from Wally. How many non-Knicks D-League teams would Baker start on, hands down? You know, Ron Baker has been playing well. But ever since he got inserted into the starting lineup, he's been very, you know, hesitant. The refs don't give him respect because he's a rookie. I mean, he hasn't been playing well lately. I mean, he's been knocking down wide open threes. He's very savvy on the defensive end, but he needs to do more to stay in that starting lineup. Our next question, he asks, why can't we get a win to save our lives? So that's the frustration all of us Knicks fans are feeling right now. We're just giving up wins to sub-500 teams, even though we are sub-500, but we shouldn't be giving up these easy wins like this just based off talent. We have good players on this team, and we should be beating the teams that we out-talent, and right now we aren't. Next question is from Simon. He says, why didn't Holiday get any burn? He's a quality defender and has offense. You know, that's a question that I would love to ask the coach, because Justin Holiday is a good, savvy defender, and he really gets after the ball, and he's quick. And I honestly think he should be inserted into that starting lineup instead of Ron Baker when coach benched Courtney Lee. You know, I think our starting five should be Derrick Rose, Justin Holiday, Kuzminskis, Carmelo Anthony, and Joakim. That's the starting lineup I think we should have, whether or not coach wants to put that out there. That's on him. But right now, Kuzminskis is way better than Lance Thomas. I mean, Lance Thomas gets hurt 80% of the time. And I love the way Kuzminskis plays. Justin Holiday is a better player than Ron Baker So why would you start Ron Baker? And we still have it. And Kristaps Porzingis isn't ready for that five position. Carmelo Anthony is ready for the four position, but Porzingis is not ready for the five position. So I think you should really look into bringing Kristaps Porzingis off the bench as long as Carmelo Anthony is here, because it shows that with them two playing, it just really hasn't worked. And I bring it back to 2011 when Carmelo was paired with Amari Stoudemire. How did that go? BK Chino asked, why do the Knicks suck? We're cursed, bro. We're cursed. We don't suck. It's just we just haven't found our rhythm yet. Once we do, I think we'll be good. I think we'll be real good. Next question, Nick for Lifer asked, why are the refs not calling fouls for the Knicks? They know how to call them against the Knicks, but not for the Knicks. I just really can't answer that question because it just seems like every game there's like a blown call against the Knicks, and we're just like, why can't that happen on the opponent's players, or why can't that happen, you know, around the league or whatnot? It just seems like the NBA is like hammering down against the Knicks. It's like the Knicks did something to the NBA and the NBAs are paying them back with blown calls and whatnot. But it's just a testament to these referees, right? Like I said in previous podcasts, there should be fines for them. There should be disciplinary actions. And if they're going to blow calls, don't give me 2 days later in a 2-minute report saying that this ref should have called this. This was a blown call, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear that crap. We still lost the game because of the blown call. So don't tell me that in the last 2 minutes, this ref blew this call, because as long as we're not going to replay the game, which we're not going to, I don't want to hear that these refs are blowing calls. I mean, it'll be, to me, we should replay the damn game, because the Washington game, we should have got that technical foul, shot the free throw, we would have won that game easily. Phoenix game, can't really say much on that, you know. But like 70% of our games we've lost, there's been a questionable call because of these damn referees. And I'm just getting tired of talking about these referees, but this just piss me off every time there's a blown call and every time they do some dumb stuff and don't call anything. But there's nothing we can do about that. Next question is from Travis. He says, is it possible for the Knicks to somehow get rid of Noah? It is possible. We can trade him somewhere, but nobody would trade for him because of the fact that Phil Jackson and his smart ass gave him 4 years and $70 million. So therefore, nobody is going to take back that contract, and therefore, we are stuck with Joakim Noah for the next three NBA seasons. So Joakim Noah isn't going anywhere. I think it's safe to say that. Randy Jacobs, he doesn't ask a question. He says, as a Knicks fans, we got to do something. Exclamation point, explanation point, exclamation point. We do have to do something, and every year, it seems like we do something, right? There's no consistency with this organization. Every year, there's constant turnover. Every year, we get down on ourselves, and every year, we don't win games. So we look at the trick trigger. We look at trades. We look at signing this person. We look at signing that person. My take is, yeah, we're losing with this group now. But hell, give it another season. We have a draft pick. Stay with the unit now. Re-sign Derrick Rose at a reasonable weight. You know, not no $150 million. Maybe a 2-year deal. But I'm just tired of seeing turnover after turnover every year. Just constant turnover. There's no foundation set. You know, what's the vision of this Knicks team? Do we want to help Kristaps Porzingis grow? Or do we want to help Carmelo Anthony get to a championship? Or do we want to get Derrick Rose a max contract? Which one is it? And I think our focus should be on Kristaps Porzingis because he's the future. And he's the one that's going to be here for the next 10 years. Melo isn't. Derrick Rose isn't. So build around that guy. Okay? That's my point of view. Byron says, season is over. Please rebuild through the draft. Byron, we have our draft pick. Whether it's a top 10 or top 15, this draft is deep. So we should be able to get somebody solid if we have a good scouting system. And I think we do because they scouted Kristaps Porzingis. So building through the draft is key, Byron. It's very key. Why was Baker in so much in the fourth? You know, I think it's because his defensive antics. He's a smart guy. He knows how to get after the ball. You know, he's just very smart. He knows what to expect from the offense. But I would have liked to see Holiday in there. That's just my two cents. But I'm not the coach. Simon again says, why did the coach substitute Gomez late in the game when we clearly had the momentum? Second, why do Noah get all the minutes at five? Basically, why does Joakim Noah get all the minutes at five? You know, the substitution patterns, I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe there's something he sees that we don't see as fans. Maybe it's matchup problems. You know, we just don't know. We can't question what coach does because we're not the coach. But who he puts out there is who he thinks will give us the best opportunity to win, then we got to roll with it because there's nothing we can do about substitution patterns. And why does Joakim Noah get all the minutes at the five? You know, I don't know. I don't know. Is it because he makes $70 million? Maybe. Is it because he was a former defensive player of the year and hopefully the Knicks think that he'll come around soon? Maybe that too. But Kylo Quinn and Hernan Gomez have proven to be a better five than Joakim Noah has. But like I said, coach does what he wants. And us fans, we just have to sit back and watch this all unfold. Chris asks, is it part of the season where we ship Melo to a trade? Or what do the Knicks organization have planned from now on? You know, like I said in Stephen A. Smith's first take rant, he said that Carmelo Anthony will be traded from the Knicks this trading deadline, or these are his words, definitely in the offseason. So I think the Knicks are really looking to move Carmelo, and I'm really interested to see what they get back from him. And what does the Knicks organization have planned from now on? That's the million-dollar question because we don't know. It just, every year it's a quick fix. There's no futuristic goals for this team. We're trying to rebuild and trying to be competitive at the same time, and we can't do both. You either have to rebuild and be crappy and get a good draft pick, or, you know, just be competitive. And I mean, we could still do that at the same time, but, you know, our expectations are higher because of who we have on this team on paper. Former MVP point guard, Derrick Rose. Courtney Lee, good solid player. You know, Carmelo, Porzingis, former defensive player of the year, Joakim Noah. On paper, we're a good team. Just doesn't work out on the court. Just doesn't. So whether or not we can get our act together in these next 35 games is remaining to be seen, but hopefully we can. Hopefully we can make these playoffs because that's what all Knicks fans want. Just a shot at the ring, shot at the trophy, and we just want to get in the playoffs and get Kristaps some playoff experience. That's all we want. So just win, New York. Just win. Just win. Just win. And stop all this nonsense. Stop all these losing streaks. Stop losing at the buzzer. Stop losing with 2 minutes remaining and you're up four and you can't close out a team on your own damn home court. We're just sick of it. So we'll get our act together, whether it's, like I said, tomorrow, whether it's in 10 games. But that's remaining to be seen. But I'm just going to wrap this podcast episode up. I would like to thank everyone that listened again. And thank you for subscribing to me on iTunes and Podomatic. Please rate and subscribe and follow me. It helps out. All of it helps out. And keep following me on Twitter. I'll keep tweeting at you guys. I'll keep tweeting whenever I do podcasts, which is every Sunday. And if any of you wanted to advertise yourself or your Twitter or your upcoming business, whatever it is, go to my AdvertiseCast website at AdvertiseCast.com/795. That's AdvertiseCast.com/795, and find out how you guys can get a shout out, how you guys can get a guest interview on my show. Or, you know, let's say you wanted to promote your music, or, you know, just your Twitter or whatever it is. Or if you wanted a birthday wish, it's all on my AdvertiseCast website. Just go on my AdvertiseCast website. That's once again, AdvertiseCast.com/795. So thank you guys for joining me again. Our next game is at Indiana, which is, I believe it's tomorrow. So don't forget to tune in, and the game is on TNT, so it's on national television, and we can watch Kenny Jett Smith and Charles Barkley crap on the Knicks like they always do. But again, thank you guys for joining my podcast, episode 5. Have a great Sunday, and let's watch some football and enjoy your day. Thank you guys again, and let's go Knicks, baby.